cross, at the cross is where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of greed can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe.
What a joy to know this great God whom we belong to. What a joy to have the cross to put our total dependence upon. The blood is a weapon. You can use it in every battle you have with sin or the devil. The blood of Jesus Christ is a weapon. The cross, at the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. We're doing a special program today, a program about the last Sodom and Gomorrah, the last Sodom and Gomorrah. We're not calling any city the place of Sodom and Gomorrah. We're not calling any country. There are many places in the world that have become a Sodom and Gomorrah. But the last Sodom and Gomorrah, the last Sodom and Gomorrah and all the places it represents will be judged by fire, will be judged by fire. Did you know? Did you know? Have you heard recently? I remember I used to hear this a lot, and I guess we don't say it like we used to. The first world of sin was judged by water and destroyed. The second world of sin will be judged by fire. And the world, as it then will be judged, destroyed, not eliminated, but the wickedness upon it will be destroyed. Let me read it to you. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. The world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Listen now. But the heavens and the earth, the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word are kept in store, by the same word are kept in store unto, now notice this, unto, same word kept in store, reserved unto fire, reserved unto fire against now the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So the first world of sin was destroyed by water. This last world of sin and wickedness and every form of godlessness you can name will be destroyed by fire. God is going to eliminate sin on the face of this earth. And God is going to judge this whole world by fire. Now listen to me. The only way you're not going to see that fire if you live. Now, you could die, I know that. But if you live, the only way you're not going to see that fire is if you go in the rapture. if you go up in that rapture to be with the saints of God, the bride of Christ, before the great and wonderful God our Father. Oh, friend, I cry out to you to get ready to go. Get ready to go. Get ready to leave here. Only the pure in heart. Only the born again. Only the born again. Only those who live and their will has been given over to the Lord have any degree of privilege and opportunity of leaving here and going before that fire comes. When that rapture is taking place, friend, the fire is going to start. I don't know what day. I don't know what month. I just know there'll be 7 years, and Jesus said it will be the most horrible time in the history of humankind. That's in Matthew 24, if you want to go read it. The most horrible time in human history will be that 7 years after the rapture. In the judgment period before Jesus returns to set up his kingdom on this earth. So today, the last Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed by fire. Now, I'm going to do something special today. There's a precious old man of God down in the Bladenburg area that's made made his trip across the divide and is over on the other side. His funeral is today, I think 6 o'clock. His name is the Reverend Paul Hewitt. Reverend Paul Hewitt. And 20 minutes or two, I'm going to offer a tribute to him. And I've asked two or three people to call me. One of his daughters, don't know which one, but whichever, doesn't matter with me. I've asked an overseer of the Emmanuel Holiness Church that has a lot of churches in that area, a big campground there. Knows him well. Didn't know, and you know, I thought that Brother Croak would be one of the best, and he's calling at 20 to 2, and maybe another one or two. I've asked a couple of others. Don't know whether they can or not, but we're going to offer a tribute to Reverend Paul Hewitt. Reverend Paul Hewitt. So don't forget that. Tell some friends. Call everybody you know. Whether you're listening by radio or you're listening by Facebook or you're listening on the internet, you can hear us. You can see us on all two of them. You can't see me on radio, and that may be what you want, so you don't have to look at me. That's up to you. Don't mind that at all. But I just want you to make sure you hear the tribute to Reverend Paul Hewitt. But now, let's get in the Bible. Get in the Bible. The last Sodom and Gomorrah will soon be destroyed by fire. So I thought first we ought to go and spend a little time with the original Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you know that the original Sodom and Gomorrah was in the southeast end of the Dead Sea? And the ruins there are being excavated even now. In fact, I'm going to give you the name. You can go on your internet and find the Shalot excavation. The Shalot, Shilot, the Shalot excavation. You can even make an arrangement to go there in May. They've got a expedition where you can go and be a tour, be one of the touring people, and you can see what all they're doing. And I presume they will take you to the excavation of Sodom and Gomorrah. But if you go on your internet and just put in the internet the Shalot excavation. A tremendous sight. I read a lot of it this morning. They've done a beautiful job. They've documented beyond measure, the location of this original Sodom and Gomorrah. They have a lot of information. They even will show you some skeletons that were buried in the fire. Buried in the fire. And they have evidence that they were buried in the fire. I mean, we're talking about absolute proof that the Bible story of Sodom and Gomorrah is a real biblical truth. Well, I never doubted that. And those of you who believe in the Bible never have doubted that. But those who don't believe in Genesis and who like to try to describe away any part of the Bible they can have wrote some incredible things trying to debunk the whole story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, you can't debunk it. because the real place is there. The excavators, these biblical archaeologists are digging, and they're finding all kinds of proof, gates and lodgings and places, a huge cemetery in the area of Sodom. Friend, I'm telling you, the Bible is literal. Do you know the Bible is literal? Do you know the Bible is the most perfect book the only perfect book on the face of this earth? Did you know you can believe everything in your Bible? Every bit of it? And so the great judgment of God against Sodom and Gomorrah occurred just exactly like the Bible said, and these archaeologists have found the absolute proof. And if you are a doubter, then you can sign up. Just go on your internet and look up the Shiloh expedition or excavation, I believe it says, the Shiloh excavation, and go for yourself and see. I guess they would allow some doubters to come. I don't know. It wouldn't be enjoyable to have them around if they're going to go there to argue. But I'm telling you, the Bible is the literal word of God. Now, what happened in the area of Sodom and Gomorrah? Do you know the story? Well, let's just kind of tell the story. There's a lot of scriptures you can read. But let me just tell you the story of Abraham. Abraham left Egypt. And went back up in the area of the place he had wandered, and the valley of Sharon, I believe it's called, what was a beautiful place. And he went up where his cattle could graze. He was a rich man, had a huge operation, and his nephew, who was named Lot, was traveling with him. And they both had huge operations and many, many laborers. And so the Bible says that the land where they was at was too small for both of them. Their herdsmen were fussing and complaining with each other. You know, they all wanted the best of the land and the best of the graze area and the best of the place. And so Abraham said to his nephew, Lot, you choose one way, I will go the other. I'm going to let you make the first choice. I'll take the other. You can choose to go east, west, and I'll go north, south, however the direction may have been. And so Lot, being selfish and having a heart that was not as pure as was Abraham's, he saw the well-watered plains of Jordan. He saw the well-watered plains. He saw this beautiful land that was gracious and given and well-watered. And so he chose to go in the direction of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. That's how the Bible says it. Pitched his tent towards Sodom. So he had Sodom in mind, a well-watered place, a place of pleasure, a place of wickedness and evil. It was a very wicked place, but Lot chose to go in that direction. And the next place in the Bible, it says of him, and Lot dwelt in Sodom. So Lot is now in Sodom, and he's there with all of his family. He's got daughters that are marrying. He's got family that's maturing and growing. And Abraham is in the place of prosperity and grace, and not as lush as was the area that Lot was in. But when God's going to bless a man, God's going to bless him. So God was blessing Abraham. And then three angels, one of them being the pre-incarnate Christ, showed up in the plains of Mamre. They showed up at Abraham's tent, and they simply told Abraham, we have heard the witness in heaven of how wicked that place is, and we've come down to check it out, and we're going to destroy it if it's as we say or understanding it is. And so this debate starts, and two of those angels head for Sodom, but Abraham stays back at his own dwelling place, and the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, stayed with Abraham and began to talk to Abraham. And it's like the Lord said, now, I can trust Abraham. He's one of mine. And so what should I do without telling Abraham first I'm going to do it? He's got a nephew down there, and the life of his nephew is important to Abraham, and Abraham's my servant. And so God took time to talk to Abraham about what he was about to do. Now, he did it through this angel who was the pre-incarnate Christ. who was literally right there with Abraham, revealing to Abraham God's will and God's plan. And Abraham kind of, debated with the angel, the pre-incarnate Christ, and said, well, what about the righteous people that are there, all right? If I find so many righteous people. So they go through a list of righteous people. And if there could be this many, then God said, I'll spare the land. And the last figure that Abraham debated with the Lord about was the number of 10. If we can find 10 righteous people in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, will you spare it? And God said, I will. 10 righteous people. Well, I don't know the process of searching out if there was 10 righteous people. I just know there wasn't 10 righteous people. There was one righteous man. Even his daughters was wicked. Even his wife had a heart set on Sodom and Gomorrah and the pleasures and her family that had grown there to be probably very large. We don't know the number. We just know they had daughters that were married, and so they had son-in-laws. They don't mention children, but most likely there were children. And here we are with Abraham debating with the angel, and nobody can find not but one righteous man in the whole area of Sodom and Gomorrah. So the angels who are going to the city are going there to set it straight and to destroy the whole area. And if you've never read the story, Lot is there at the gate now of Sodom. He's become a known man. He's a man of wealth. He's a man of stature. And so they've invited him to be one of the elders of the city. And he's sitting in the gate, and those two angels show up. Now, this is in the 19th chapter of Genesis, if you want to read it. The 19th chapter of Genesis. And you can go read the whole story. And so Abraham invites those angels to go to his house. It wasn't safe on the streets of Sodom. Lot knew that. Did I say Abraham? Lot knew that. Wasn't safe on the streets of Sodom. Not at all. And so Lot persuaded the angels to go to his home and spend the night. And they're having dinner. They're having dinner at Lot's house. And there come a calamity on the door. Someone beating on the door trying to get through. And so Lot opens the door and goes out and shuts the door behind him and says to these men, what do you want? We want to know those men that are in your house. They were sodomites, they were homosexuals, and they wanted to know those angels. They wanted to be acquainted physically and emotionally and sexually with those angels. Now, that sounds like a wicked thing. Well, Lot is in a terrible condition, terrible persuasion, and so he even offers them his two daughters, which seems to be the most grievous thing I can imagine. But the Bible tells it, and it happened just like the Bible said it. I know that. Well, the angels reached past the door and jerked Lot back in the house and shut the door behind him and struck those men with blindness that they wandered about out on the street trying to find the house. I mean, the angels took care of it supernaturally and powerfully. And, of course, the story is grievous from then on. The angel said to Lot, go find your son-in-laws and your family and tell them, get out of this town. We're fixing to destroy it. Well, the Bible says that his son-in-laws treated him like a crazy man. They laughed at him. They didn't care about what he said these angels were saying. They didn't believe it, just like our world today. Look at this. This is exactly like men out there listening to me right now, all over the landscape, all across this world, in the countries of on every continent. I have a listening audience that spreads around this globe. I don't know how big of a multitude it is, but I know it's huge. And I'm telling you that people are convinced that everything's going to be okay. They pay no attention to the warnings. They pay no attention to the darkness. They pay no attention to the hell that they see everywhere and the Sodom and Gomorrah evidence that they see everywhere. They're just determined to keep on living in their pleasure. Oh, I hope you're not one of them. I hope you're one of those who've turned to Christ with all your heart, because I'm telling you what I'm saying to you, the Bible has made it plain. It is about to happen. We live when all the scripture has been fulfilled to the point that this rapture could occur today and the 7 years could start before the sun sets this very day. The sun, The sun alone, may set, and or this may occur before the sun sets. I'm telling you, we are in that kind of hour, right at the verge of the coming. Well, as you know, the crowd in Sodom and Gomorrah paid no attention to Lot, and Lot tries to get his family out, and he's hesitant, and they won't move. And finally, the Bible says the angel took Lot by the hand, took his wife by the hand, took the two daughters still in his home by the hand, and took them on the outside of the city, and said to them, "Now you got to escape, or you're gonna be destroyed in this fire." Well, they don't want to escape. And the angel says to them, we can do nothing until you go. You know, that's a great proof of the pre-trib rapture. They can do nothing. The judgment that's coming cannot start until the saints are gone. The judgment about to start, the fire that's about to fall, the flames that are going to destroy every wickedness on the face of this earth, every wickedness, the very flames that will leave everything as dust. I'm telling you, it will start when that rapture is over. I don't know how quickly. I don't know, within hours, within days. I can't give you all of that. I just can tell you, and we'll go to the scripture, that when this judgment, rapture is over, and the Lot and the wife and the children are out of town. See, we got to be out of town before the fire can fall. We got to be out of here. We got to leave here. The rapture will take us out of here. And that proof is all through the Bible that God does not judge the righteous with the wicked. God does not judge the righteous with the wicked. Never. That's impossible in the mighty mind and heart of God. Well, as we know, finally, God got Lot and his wife and his two daughters out of town. But as you know, the wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. The wife looked back. I mean, she's leaving her grandchildren. She's leaving her other daughters. She's leaving son-in-laws. Who knows how big a family she was leaving? But I can understand a mother whose heart was absolutely grieved to no end. The fire is fixing to fall. The angels are taking us out of here, and this city is going to be wiped off the map. This city is going to be wiped off the map. All the living part of the city is going to be destroyed. And she turns and becomes a pillar of salt. Well, all I can tell you is this is a true story. And just like it happened back then, it is fixing to happen again. Just like it happened back then, it is fixing to happen again. Can you receive that from me? Can you let me convince you of that? That this great judgment day is coming. As sure as I sit here on this internet and on this Facebook and on this radio, I'm telling you, this judgment is coming. It cannot fail. It cannot fail. Let me take you. There's so many scriptures I'd like to take you to, and time's going to be of essence with the time we're given as a tribute to our dear brother, man of God. Oh, that the people of God out there would hear Brother Chambers. Oh, that the people of God out there would get a burden for the kingdom and a burden for these great things of God. Can I help you get a burden to get ready to meet God? Listen to me, sinner. Listen to me, backslider. Listen to me, lukewarm, indifferent people who church has become just a something that you do when nothing else is there to be done. I mean, the house of God has been neglected by multitudes today, and those who go to church barely can get themselves there on Sunday morning, but never on Sunday night and Wednesday night. You know what? I believe the Wednesday night crowd are the rapture ready crowd. I've said that for many years. The Wednesday night crowd are the rapture ready crowd. And the coming of the Lord is at the door. Let's go to St. Matthew chapter 24 and 14. Could we? "And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come." Right now, I'm preaching the gospel to the whole world. Right now, there's no place on the continents of the world, if a man has a radio or an internet or a telephone, the right kind of telephone, of course. There's no place on this globe that men and women cannot hear me right now warning you that the Sodom and Gomorrahs of our day are about to be eliminated by fire. The Sodom and Gomorrahs of our generation, of this very hour, is about, are about to be eliminated by the fire of God. The judgment is coming as sure as I'm sitting here talking to you, and I do it with a passion because I love you and I care about you. And so again, let me read that verse. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I'm so grateful that I'm helped fulfill in that verse. Those are the words of Jesus. Jesus said those words 2,000 years ago, approximately. 2,000 years ago, when the gospel is preached in all the world, then shall the end come. And I'm sitting here fulfilling that great word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then let's read on. Let me read it, and I want you to hear it carefully. I got to hold it up right here. I have a beautiful camera. A beautiful magnifying glass with lights in it. One of my men provided it for me. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, stand in the holy place, spoken of by Daniel, standing in the holy place. He said, he whosoever readeth, let him understand. If I'm reading to you, so it's the same as you reading it. Let me read it again. When ye therefore shall see the desolation of the abomination of desolation, stand in the holy place. Remember, Daniel said that at that time, standing, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judah flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field turn back to receive anything from his house. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither in the Sabbath day. And then shall be great, listen now, and then shall be great, great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, no, nor ever shall be. And such be the great tribulation that has not been seen since the beginning of the world. Nothing that's ever happened is going to be like when that fire starts burning up what is left of sin. Nothing has ever happened. That when this fire comes to bring judgment upon the wicked and the ungodly, nothing. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, that's the Jewish people, those days shall be shortened. Then shall the destruction be so great. Jesus said this now. These are not my words. They're not Paul's. They're not Peter's. They're not James's. They're not John's. They are the words of the Son of God. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, the Jewish people elect, those days shall be shortened. Therefore, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, there, believe it not. Don't believe it. For there shall be false prophets and false Christs, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. The dark things that's going to occur, the horrible things that's going to be taking place, and the many things that are trying to prove that the Bible is wrong, and they've got something that's right, and even somebody trying to, hey, here's the Christ, that false Christ is going to be the Antichrist. That false Christ is not going to be the true Christ that this world is going to see in that day. So they're going to say, here's Christ, or there's Christ. Believe it not. Do you hear me? Believe it not. Now, friend, I'm telling you, we're looking at truths that are just absolutely overwhelming. They are overwhelming. And these things are going to happen. These things are going, let him which is on, well, I read that. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, but there shall be great tribulation, such as has never been, except those days should be shortened. Therefore, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, there he is, believe it not. Anybody got these crazy stuff? Don't believe them. Don't pay them no attention. You cannot believe. Let's go to verse 37 here. I want to read you this and try to warn you. Church, we are so near this. We're so close to this. And I'm excited because I'm leaving here. I'm going up in that rapture as sure as I'm sitting here. I'm living for him with all my heart. A clean and pure life is so important in this closing day. Listen, but as the days of Noah were, listen, As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. As the days of Noah. Now, what was the days of Noah? Just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah is exactly what the days of Noah were. And I'm telling you that we're living in it. There's a Sodom and Gomorrah in almost every direction you look. Many cities of the world have become so filled with these people. They are growing, they are expanding, and they hate you and I. They hate the gospel truths of this Holy Bible. And I'm telling you, it's a dark hour. Knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So suddenly, as in the day that he destroyed the world by water, suddenly this next time of judgment is coming. And the Bible says they knew not it was about to happen till it came and took them away. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other. Oh, that overwhelms me. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Friend, who are you with today? Are you with somebody that's ungodly? So if suddenly the rapture would take place, you would disappear? They'd be left here? What if you were on an airplane and the pilot was a rapture-ready saint and he was gone in a moment? Or maybe the pilot, the co-pilot is ready too. Maybe he'd be so overwhelmed if his partner suddenly disappeared. He'd probably lose all coherency. I'm telling you, our world is going to go insane. Many people, not everybody, of course, but multitudes are going to go insane when suddenly they realize Jesus has come and gone. That Jesus had come and the raptured saints have disappeared. It used to be that everybody would think about this. I remember the Charlotte Observer having an article 20, 30 years ago, and they had done a survey, somebody had, and 80-some percent of Americans believed the rapture was going to occur. 80-some percent of Americans believed the rapture was going to occur. And here we are, 30 years later, and probably 10% out there really believe the rapture is about to occur. Maybe not even 10%, because it has just been, it's been horrible. It's been horrible. I'm telling you, church, the time of the coming of the Lord is at hand. To women, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Let me say that to everybody out there, all the way to Australia, all the way to northern Russia, all the way to southern South Africa, all the way to South America, Canada, wherever you are. Listen to me. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. I wish you'd get on your knees right now. I wish you'd give your life to Christ right now. I'm fixing to pay a tribute to a good man in about 7 or 8 minutes. A wonderful man. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm here to tell you that you can get ready and you can be ready to go. Whether if you die before he comes, then you'll just be raptured out of the grave and you'll be raptured right before the living saints. And that's a beautiful truth. Oh, what a truth. Oh, what a truth. But know thou that the goodman of the house, for the goodman of the house have known in what watch the thief would come. He would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be ramshacked, to be broken into. Oh, church, do you know, are you ready? Will you get ready right now? Would somebody bow your head right now and say, I surrender. I repent of my sins. I'm turning from my wicked ways. I'm turning to the Christ, the mighty Christ of Calvary. Hey, I got to take you. I've got several scriptures. I hope I could have time to read them. I'm not sure I will. Let's go to St. Luke 21:7. A lot of people doubt the book of Matthew 24. They say that was only for the Jewish people. Well, Luke tells the same story over in Luke 21. I mean, the same wonderful words. And he certainly was writing to all of us, and the other was too, as far as I'm concerned. And they asked him, saying, Master, but what shall be the things, or the signs will there be to tell? Let me try to read that right. I'm not seeing the good. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what shall be the signs? What shall be the signs when these things shall come to pass? They're asking Jesus that. When shall these things be? And what shall be the signs when these things shall come to pass? And he said, this is Jesus talking, take heed that ye be not deceived. Take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of signs and wonders, commotions, be not terrified. For these things shall come to pass, but the end is not yet. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and great commotions shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights shall there be from heaven. Friend, we are living so near the coming, the moment of his great appearing. It's really literally overwhelming. It literally is overwhelming. Oh, how soon he is coming. How soon is the great appearance of our Lord. Are you ready? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? I'll come back to that in a moment now. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. The first time he came and destroyed the wicked world by water, this time he's coming to destroy the wicked world by fire. I cannot imagine anything like a world on fire with judgment. I can imagine the terror, the awesome terror. The Bible said the hearts of many fell in them because of the fear of his coming, the fear of what's happening, the fear of everything taking place. Now, a moment to pay tribute to a godly man by the name of Reverend Paul Hewitt. Brother Hewitt pastored the Bethlehem Holiness Church in the Bladenburg area. I preached for him on some occasions. We ordained him as a minister. He was a man that was very, very loved by the people in our Bible Holiness Ministerial Fellowship. I don't know how many of them will be there today for his funeral, but I can tell you there'll be some people there that love him and that care for him that represent our Bible Holiness Ministerial Fellowship. I would love to be there, but I knew it wasn't possible for me to drive that far, three and a half hour drive each way to be back for in the morning. So I cannot be there and do this radio program. But to me, I'm paying tribute to him, which is as powerful as anything I can imagine doing. Now, those who are going to call me quickly, do it. And let's talk with anybody that would like to make a tribute to this dear and wonderful man. I mean, he really is that dear. He's a man of devotion. I've been with him on occasions. His family are just precious people, really are. That church has been a beacon for Christ in that area. And so I just want to say to all the family of Reverend Paul Hewitt, God bless you folks. You please don't think of him as gone. Celebrate him at home. At home in the heavens. Celebrate him at the place of glory and greatness and beauty. Oh, what a day. What a blessed day. And what a joy it is. What a joy it is to hold up some tribute to Paul. Because he was just a dear man. It's been a while since I've been down. I've been in his home on maybe three or four occasions. I wish I could go everywhere I want to go, and always not very very often it's not even possible for me. But I want you to know that we loved this man, had great respect for him, had great appreciation for him. Everybody that was saved in that church. I know of several ministers who were saved in that church, called to preach from that church. It'd be great to know how many men of God have come out of that church that have gone on to do a good work for God in different places. That would be thrilling. But that's how it is with good men of God. They leave a legacy behind them that is overwhelming and beautiful. And I am thrilled to be a part of the legacy of this dear man. I was not saved in his church, but I was blessed. And the times I preached there, I really did enjoy it. I mean, it was just a sweet thing to preach in the Bethlehem Holiness Church. And it was always a sweet spirit, always a genuine worship. Usually there was food afterwards in the home of one of the daughters of the fellowship hall. I mean, it was just really the kind of people that you can love. So everybody out there that has known Brother Paul Hewitt, please send a prayer up for them. Let's believe God to lay his hand on them and comfort them and to give them joy today. I'm going to pray right here, and you join me wherever you are, okay? If you live in the Bladenburg area, just join me in praying, and we will tell them how much we love them. Father, I pray for Brother Paul's family. I ask you for the daughters and the son and the granddaughters and grandsons, for everybody involved in that sweet family. Make your grace so real today that they'll never forget how good and how comforting your presence was, how comforting your love was, and they will reach out with love and praise with all their heart. I claim it, Father. I claim a miracle. I claim a miracle. I claim a miracle for the Hewitt family. I claim the move and presence of the Holy Spirit at the funeral today. Anoint Brother Joey Yates to preach it with excitement and enthusiasm. And let the Holy Spirit be real. In Jesus' sweet name, I humbly pray. Praise the Lord. And God bless you. God bless you. You know, it is a joy to be involved in people's life. It really is. God bless you. Welcome to this moment of tribute to Brother Paul Hewitt.
Brother Famous James Croak here.
Hey, Brother James.
Brother, I just want to tell you that Hewitt to me was a very personal friend. I prayed for him several occasions on Wednesday night when he was past Bethlehem Holiness. And I'm going to miss the pats on the back when Brother Hewitt said, "I love you, Brother James." And always a joy to see him. I went to his house maybe about a month before he went home to heaven. And I had prayer with him. Brother Chambers, but the verse that comes to me, my brother, includes Brother Hewitt, Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us."
Can you tell me what year the church Bethlehem Holiness started?
Pardon me?
Do you know the year? How many years that church has been there making a witness for the Lord?
I don't know exactly, Brother.
I know it's been a long time, because I remember meeting him at least 30 years ago.
Yeah, somebody in your listening audience would have to answer. I know Brother John Corporate got saved under his ministry, and Brother John is,
Well, I know I've met two or three different pastors through the years that had been saved under his ministry, and kind of grew to be a pastor while they were attending and listening to him. He was just a dear man.
He was a great, great man, and just don't make it that way no more.
Well,
he would have a Brother Chambers. He's all right now, and but I'm going to miss him. I know the family's going to miss him, but.
Can you imagine what he is seeing at this moment? Great day. Can you imagine the difference that's all in with his sweet wife that has been gone, 8 years, I think?
Yes, sir. I cannot imagine, Brother Chambers, what he's looking, beholding, but he is all right. He's eyes for nothing, seeing, ears not heard. We can't imagine. We just the glory that he's seeing right now, and
you sure can.
Savior Jesus Christ, right now, he's holding it.
Highly. Thank you, Brother James, for calling. Yeah, and we send a great big happy feeling to the whole Hewitt family. We want them to know we love them. And everybody in that area, please think about Brother Hewitt today and his family and breathe a prayer for them. God bless you.
God bless you, brother.
All right. God bless your heart. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Brother Chambers?
Yes.
My name is G.C. Bryan. I met you one time out at Bethlehem Church.
Okay.
I'm Bishop Paul's one of his son-in-laws.
Okay. God bless you.
I was asked by the family to give you a call and talk with you a few minutes about Dr. Hewitt.
Well, thank you, my brother. So you are one of Paul Hewitt's son-in-laws. Can you tell me about how many years he's been pastoring that church?
Lord have mercy, your brother. How long is the preacher you have been pastoring at Bethlehem?
Yes. Are you there with some of the family? Maybe they wouldn't know.
Brother Chambers, I really don't know. I'd say it's been 25 or 30 years or better, but...
Well, I'm sure I met him at least 25 or 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And always just love seeing him. He came to camp meeting a few times and some of our meetings, and we just absolutely loved him. And I regret that I didn't get down since he's been Bedfast, but I just have had too much to do. And when I'm 83, I'm needing now, when I make these long trips, to get somebody to help me and go with me. But I make it without it, but I don't get much of it done.
You stick around long. You would have caught up with him. Richard Hewitt was 86.
I know. I'm 83.
And in December, and he would have turned 87 in December. But I just wanted to talk with you about my experience with Richard Hewitt.
Please tell us what you feel.
I grew up right across the swamp. We're down here in southeastern North Carolina, so you got to understand that. Right across the swamp from him, but I never really heard.
Right across the swamp. I like that.
I'd never heard tell him until his daughters began to grow up and they got dating age. And I met his oldest daughter, Linda, and we began to date. And the time came when Preacher Hewitt, you know, back in our day, you had to go to a girl's daddy. You didn't marry her without going to her daddy first.
Oh, I like that.
Before you got down on your knees before her, you had to go to him. So if you've been over here before, I'm sure you have.
Yes, sir.
Tree there. Right before you get to his house, there's a great big old oak tree. And so when Linda and I decided we wanted to get married, I met Mr. Hewitt one night out there under the oak tree, and he just asked me to love his daughter, take care of her. And I'm of the original Free Will Baptist faith. Bethlehem was Holiness. I believe at one time they were Pentecostal Free Will Baptist, and they switched over to the Holiness when Mr. Hewitt was there. But as a child, I used to go out to Bethlehem. We just always known as Bethlehem in this area. So I'd go out to Bethlehem and enjoy their services, shout to people, praise God through their singing and their testimonies. And I'd go to the Southern Baptist Church, had some good people over there. And, of course, I was a Free Will Baptist faith. Mr. Hewitt never did really, in my presence, bring up, you know, the different denominations.
Well, he wasn't. That wasn't his burden. His burden was souls for Christ.
Right, exactly right. He brought up the Christian denomination, if you can say that. He loved the Lord, and he wanted to see everybody saved.
Wow.
He witnessed that in his life. What we need in this world today, we need Christian bear hunters.
Hey, he was a bear hunter. I hadn't thought about that.
Yes, sir, he was. He traveled to Canada. If there was a bear to be hunted, Mr. Hewitt would go. And he had a lot of friends all over North Carolina, New Virginia, all over the place down in South Carolina.
How many bears did he kill in his life? Do you know?
He never did tell me, but he killed a bunch of them. In fact, I went with him one time, and we killed a bear. Mr. Hewitt got on his knees. He had a pistol. He would shoot a bear up close. He got on his knees and crawled through the little tunnel of briars and everything out to the bear and got it close enough to him so he could shoot him between the eyes with his pistol. And, you know, that would have set most people on fire as far as bear hunting is good, and he enjoyed it. But I tell you what, there comes a time when you have to pull the bear out of the woods.
I mean, you're telling me the bear had been shot, but he crawled. But he won't dead. So he called.
He was dead. Yeah, he was dead. We had the machete knives with us, and we had to cut our way out of that swamp and drag that bear over those bamboo stubbles. And I tell you what, brother, when I got out there, I was a tired fella. And I said, this is too much like work for me. So
how much you think that bear weighed?
And he influenced people in the woods to accept Christ through his bear hunting. Then, before he was a bear hunter, he was a farmer.
He was a what now?
Relationship, by his relationship with people in the farming industry, he got to know a lot of people and influenced a lot of people. But he really found his calling when he was in the pulpit and being able to witness and talk to people.
Okay.
And I often tell people since he passed away, my wife and I, we were home last Monday night. He passed away early Tuesday morning. And I often tell people, if Paul Vernon Hewitt didn't make it to heaven, they ain't news for the rest of us, right?
Well, no question, he made it.
He was a servant of God.
Well, I feel the Holy Ghost just talking about it.
And he loved his community. And I'll tell you one thing. Bladen County, that's the county we live in. We got our problems just like everybody else. But today I can honestly say Bladen County is a better place because Vernon Hewitt lived in it, preached in it, loved in it, took care of the people that he knew.
You have made this tribute wonderful. And I'm so glad you brought up the bear hunting. I hadn't thought about that. I remember him talking about it and telling me some things about him, but I never thought I would have any interest in bear hunting. And I still don't have any, to be honest with you, but I can see that it would be a grand experience.
Yeah, he influenced a lot of people that he met through his bear hunting days, and he used to be a raccoon hunter. And he switched from that and got involved in bear hunting. And I tell you, if a man's ever left to do anything next to preaching the word of God, all of you have left the bear hunt.
Well, I can imagine that would be a grand experience. I feel bad at me that I had not remembered him being a bear hunter. And I'm so proud you called, because probably as a son-in-law, you were just the right person to tell us, and you've actually been with him bear hunting.
Yes, I have. I've been with Mr. Hewitt about every kind of experience he's had. I was very close. He lived right down the road from a couple of hundred yards separated us. And
well, is your wife as good a cook as she was?
I tell you what, my wife's the best cook in the world.
Well, she was one marvelous cook. I'll never forget was it a strawberry cake that she made that was so good? I believe it was. Great day, I remember that cake.
About anything she puts her hands to, Brother Chambers, it comes out good. I don't know how she does that. all those girls are good cooks. Talking about my wife, though, the way my wife learned to cook so well was back in their farming days, Mr. Miss Hewitt.
Yes.
They would be out in the fields working, and as the girls got up some size, Miss Hewitt, she'd send the girls back to the house, my wife, Patsy or Laura, you know, to finish off the building she had started. And that's how my wife learned how.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you for calling me, brother. Tell the girls that Brother Chambers sends his love and that I will be calling in a few days to come down and spend an hour or two around with the family, okay?
Well, brother, we love you.
We love you, too. And I'm so proud that Paul always loved our program, and we loved each other. And any of the family that I ever talked to have talked how much they love the radio program. And so I'm so glad I could do a tribute to him today. To me, this is better than even coming to the service tonight.
Well, it's sort of an unusual thing because it's such a big family now. It just had to work out the way it did. The funeral will be tonight at 6 o'clock. And then tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, they'll have his grave side service. And I was telling somebody when I heard that, and it's because of circumstances in the family. It's the only time they could really have it, so they all be there. But I was saying, if Paul V. Hewitt knew that his grave side service was going to be 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, he said, hey, put it off and let's go preach.
Well, that's okay. You can shout at that wedding. I mean, that wedding.
Yeah.
It is a wedding, a wedding with heaven. But you can shout tomorrow at that graveside service just like you could if you was in church, okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Brother Chambers. And God bless you for doing this tribute to my father-in-law.
I am proud of it. I feel so excited about it. And so, may I say to everybody, this tribute is to the Reverend Paul Hewitt, a man of God who's now over there on the other side.
Absolutely. Thank God there's a heaven.
Oh, thank God there's a heaven. I love you, brother. God bless you.
Brother James, God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Oh, what a joy. What a blessing. All I can say is what a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. I'm so proud God laid that on my heart. I am so proud God laid that on my heart. Never done a tribute to someone like this before on the radio. But from now on, if there's a good old saint of God that's gone on to heaven and somebody that we've been associated with and close to, I'm going to be doing this again. Praise the Lord. Thank you, son-in-law and brother James Croke. God bless you and God bless all this precious family. God bless all this precious family. And let me get you back to think a little bit more about the subject of today. I'm talking today, and this is so important, about the last judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. the last judgment, the last fiery judgment of every Sodom and Gomorrah that exists all over this globe. I'm telling you, not just the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, but the sins of mankind. Whatever the wickedness is, whatever is the moral darkness, whatever the sins, the wickedness, the lifestyles of godlessness, I'm telling you, they are soon to be judged, and the fire is coming. The first world was destroyed with water, the wicked world now. Good people were on an ark when that first destruction came. Well, there's another group of people that are going to be in an ark in heaven, in the place that God has prepared for the wedding crowd, for the great bride of Christ Jesus our Lord. And before this judgment of fire can come, the bride will leave here, and the rapture will take place. The pre-trib rapture is one of the greatest truths in this Bible. And you can believe, there's no doubt about it, I am as convinced that the pre-trib rapture is right as I'm convinced that Jesus is at the Father's right hand waiting on us and anxious to step out into the sky and to descend into the heavens above us. He will not come all the way to the earth when he comes for the rapture. He will only come into the clouds over our heads, up above us, and we will be caught up to meet him in the clouds, to meet him in the air, and then with him turn around. He will turn around. We'll just rise and go with him. He'll come down into the midair, and then he'll turn around up there. We'll be given the call. We'll hear the trumpet. We'll hear the great moment of invitation, and we'll rise to meet the Lord in the air. What a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. Saints, I wouldn't miss it for the world. I wouldn't miss it for the world. There's nothing on the face of this earth that could make me miss the rapture of the church. What a day it's going to be. Now, I'm preaching in the morning on my will is mine to make it thine. If there's ever been a sermon that every believer ought to hear, they ought to hear this sermon tomorrow. My will is mine to make it thine. Do you understand that the will of man is what is taking the multitudes to hell? Do you realize that there's nothing as important to the Christian life as when you change your mind and change your will from following the world to following Christ? You are given the right in your will to do what you please. God has never forced anything on anybody. If there's anything that's wrong, it is what is to be will be. My father was one who believed that, or at least had believed that. I cannot say that's what he believed at the end, but I can tell you that God gave you the choice of making your own mind. You can decide, am I going to hell or am I going to heaven? Am I going to live for Jesus or am I going to live for the world and myself and the things of this life? Your will is yours to make it his. I want you to hear that sermon tomorrow. And I want to tell everybody out there, pray with us. We need a pianist at our church. Our pianist got very angry with me along with her husband, and they left in a scurry, and I still love them. I'm not going to be bitter at them. I'm not going to say ugly things about them, but I'm going to tell you, we need a pianist, and we've got one out there. I don't know whether she's listening to me right now or not, but if you are, I'm claiming God's divine love to grip your heart and to send you. And if you're ready to make up your mind and move, give me a call in the next 30, 45 minutes. I'll be here at least till about 3 o'clock. So give me a call, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I'm going to put the phone number up so you won't forget it. I would love to hear from you. I've got a pianist out there somewhere, and I'm crying out for her. We need that pianist tomorrow, and God's going to give us the right one. And if you're the right one and you decide not to obey God's call, then God will choose somebody else, because God's never let me down in 64 years of being a pastor. 62, I'm sorry. God has never let me down, and he's not going to let me down this time. I'm looking for that pianist. I'm looking for her for tomorrow. I've cried out. I've claimed the blood over her and over her life that God's will to be done. And so I'm speaking real forthrightly and telling you, pray with me. And if you're the person, call me, and we'll talk about it. And we won't won't pressure nothing on you. You'll have the choice of saying yes or no. We believe that every man has the choice. If your will is thine to make it his. My will is mine to make it thine is the way I love to say it. And you can do the same thing. So prepare to meet God. Now, remember, I want you to make sure you remember this scripture that I read to you from 2 Peter. I cannot imagine anything more important for you to remember. And I'm going to read it to you here at the end before I go off the air. Listen to me carefully. Wherefore the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. The world overflowed with water perished, but the new heavens and the earth, which are now the same hath he reserved in judgment unto the great day, fire. The great day of fire. Now, let me make sure I read this right. Have kept in store reserved unto fire. Reserved unto fire. Listen to that. Reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So this earth will be destroyed by fire. This earth will be destroyed by fire. I don't want you to be here. I want you to go up in that rapture. I want you to go up in that rapture. I really do want you to go up in that rapture, friend. I don't want you to be here for that dark moment. I don't want you to be here for that dark moment. I'm trying to find that thing to I can't find it. Well, it's there somewhere. Here we are. Hallelujah. God, I got it going. I love you. It's been a joy. It really has been. I love doing the tribute. I thought that was really special. Really special. Thank God for His goodness and His mercy. God's mercy is everlasting. It never fails. He cares about you. He loves you, and He'll save you if you'll give Him a chance. He'll save you if you'll give Him a chance. Now, I got 1 minute. I want to take that 1 minute now and warn you that the fire of judgment is coming. The first world was destroyed by water. This world, the judgment now, the wicked, the ungodly, the Sodom and Gomorrah habitats, cities, countries, wherever it is, they're all going to be judged and by fire. You got to hear me. Wickedness must pay the piper. Wickedness must pay for its wicked living. You cannot be wicked and get by. It will come down on your head every time. God's word is absolutely true, and you can depend upon it. Now, I'd love to have you in church tomorrow. No, you know where we are, 5110 Tuckasegee Road, right here in Charlotte. You'll hear a sermon that may change your life. My will is mine to make it thine. My will is mine to make it thine. I want so much that you hear the truth of God's word tomorrow and that it change your life. I really do. Jesus is coming, and He's coming any moment, and we're leaving.
Since I found in Him a friend so strong and true.
I love you.
I would tell you
how
He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. But Jesus placed His strong and loving arms around me. And He led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. And no one else could take the sin and darkness from me.
Oh, how much.
Oh, how much He cared for me. with me.